This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Susan Stamberg. In the late fall of 1984, American military transport planes roared out of eastern Sudan en route to Europe and then Israel. The secret airlift was known as Operation Moses. It was the first to evacuate tens of thousands of Ethiopian Jews who'd marched through harsh mountain terrain hoping to reach Jerusalem. Arab nations decried such operations, organized variously by Israel, the CIA, and Saudi billionaire arms dealer Adnan Khashoggi. Uprooted Palestinians claimed their historic homeland was being taken up by new immigrants as a political ploy by Israel to fill the land and bring in cheap labor. Israelis said the airlifts were rescue operations to help an oppressed minority in the midst of famine and civil war. Some believed the Ethiopians were descendants of the lost tribe of Dan and, after more than 2,000 years, were coming home. But their sudden move across centuries from the Third World to the First has been jarring for the Ethiopians. Also, some Orthodox rabbis have declared that the Ethiopians are not fully Jewish, which has sparked a debate about citizenship and identity in modern Israel. Today, in a continuing series of first-person narratives, we hear the story of Shula Mula, an educational activist. At the age of 11, in 1984, Shula began her journey toward Israel. Her story is produced by Sandy Tolan.
כל הזמן, מאז שאני זוכרת את עצמי, אצלנו בכפר דיבו על ירושלים.
I used to hear a lot of stories about Jerusalem from the Bible. We didn't have anything else, just the Bible. And I just built up different dreams about Jerusalem. Everything I imagined Jerusalem to be, it was something far from reality.
Now to the latest reports that Ethiopia has allowed thousands of Jews to emigrate to Israel. The report published in the New York newspaper Newsday, based on unnamed diplomatic sources, said the Jews would arrive in Israel in the coming months.
When I was 11, people suddenly began to speak about Jerusalem as an actual place. In realistic terms, suddenly we started hearing about other groups of Ethiopian Jews in other areas that are gone and were on their way to Jerusalem. We heard that some had died along the way, but that some of them had actually reached Jerusalem.
According to your information, how many Jews remain in Ethiopia, and are they all interested in emigrating to Israel?
We estimate between 15,000 to 16,000 Ethiopian Jews are left behind in Ethiopia, and everybody is willing to leave Ethiopia and come to Israel. Until the last person.
When the news reached our village, it aroused great controversy. My grandfather was very much against us marching off. We must wait, he said. But I decided to go, with them or without them. A little girl decides to walk to Sudan. And so with my mother and two of my brother, I left. I left my father, I left my home, I left my village, I left everything there. We walked for 4 weeks. In the beginning, I had shoes. After 2 weeks, we ran out of food and water. My mother became sick and tired. She just couldn't take it anymore. I didn't drink, I didn't eat. I was actually a young girl myself, carrying my younger brother on my back. I can't explain how I was able to do it. My whole life I waited to go to Jerusalem, but I didn't know what it meant. I thought that as soon as we got to the Sudan, Jerusalem would be just over the hill. I know nothing about who live in Israel. I don't know about the Holocaust. I don't know about the problem between Jews, Arabs, and Israel. I don't know about white people. But I knew, I was sure, that everyone was very close to God. I just thought all the Jews in Israel were waiting for us, and that redemption of the Jews would happen as soon as we arrived.
ולכן בעצם בהמשך, גם בדרך, לא חשבתי על יהודים מעולים. זה לא היה בתודעה שלי.
When we got to the airport, I came and I said, these are the people that are waiting for us? And everyone was wearing short sleeve blouse and short skirt and short pants. It was the middle of the summer. I never saw anything like this. And they were all white. And I was saying, Shalom, 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 Shalom. And nobody was even paying attention to me. And they wouldn't answer me.
מאוד דתי, משהו אחר לגמרי.
As soon as we arrived, I was sent to this very religious boarding school. I accepted everything that they said to me, uncritically. Everything was the way they said it was. I suddenly realized that everything I understood in Ethiopia was wrong.
שום דבר נכון, לא
The first time I got my period, I know that I mustn't go near holy books. And you must certainly not go near the Beit HaKnesset, the synagogue. And so I stayed in my room. And the student counselor came to say, why haven't you come to the synagogue? When I explained, because I'm a period, counselor started to yell at me. And I explained to the student counselor that in Ethiopia, when this happens to a woman, this is the way we behave. This is our tradition. And the counselor yelled at me. She said, don't you understand that there's no longer a temple? That we don't behave like this anymore? From then on, I always went to the synagogue and I held a prayer book. And I said, well, they must know that this is correct. But I never told them at home that I did this. I was away for so many years at this boarding school, and I began to think that I was better than my family, and that I knew the right way, that they were simply wrong.
כי אני די מהר תפסתי את השפה, ובשנים הראשונות הייתי בטוחה שאני בדרך הנכונה ואימא שלי לא.
יום אחד הגענו עם עוד אנשים למרכז קליטה בקריית גת.
One day I visited the absorption center in Kiryat Gat where my family first moved when we came in 1984. Until today, my grandfather lives there. Everything looked as it did when I left. No change, no improvements. We went into my grandfather's house. His friends were there and they immediately held a traditional coffee ceremony. They lived here. But their heads are still in Ethiopia. They speak Amharic among themselves, but they know very little Hebrew. I ask what they think about life here. My grandfather said, what do you want me to say? Thank God, I have nothing to say.
Jerusalem, yo ndemtawchu yimla gabari mi ballabrinya Jerusalem nu yale.
We work hard for this. We dream a long time. We are the victims for Jerusalem. A lot of people wanted to come here and they had no chance. I don't want to say another thing about Jerusalem. It doesn't matter what I thought it would be like. It doesn't matter what I found here. We are here. That's what's important.
It doesn't speak to me. Sometimes I return to this place and say, Ya Allah, this isn't where I ought to be. I don't understand. I don't feel as if I belong.
המקום הזה נראה מאוד מוזר, כי הוא נמצא באמצע בניינים יפים פחות יותר.
This place looks very strange, because it's located in the midst of nice new buildings. These are blocky concrete structures that remind me a bit of train carriages. A little bit like work camp in Poland. I don't know. I have all sorts of unpleasant associations. When I look at this place, I think that if I were in charge of this place, I would tear it down.
Last week it was revealed that Israeli blood banks were routinely discarding blood donations from all Ethiopian immigrants. News about the practice has outraged members of the Ethiopian community, but Israeli officials have defended the practice, saying it's necessary in order to reduce the risk of AIDS infection.
When the story came out about the blood scandal, this was the last straw. All of those people that have been arguing with me that you mustn't criticize them and you must accept the situation suddenly understood what was going on. They all agreed. The whole thing never surprised me. I read this item and I just smiled.
The anger erupted yesterday. More than 8,000 Ethiopian immigrants held a demonstration at the Prime Minister's office in Jerusalem. They carried placards that read, "Racism in the Holy Land," and "Black is a color, not a disease."
We go to the hospital to donate blood, and instead of giving thanks and happy smiles, they take our blood and they throw it away. How would you feel if someone would do this to you, huh? Tell me. Wouldn't you be insulted, huh?
We believe that they are not throwing out only the blood. The black man is thrown out like a dusty thing.
ואנשים שרקו אבנים, שברו מכוניות, דחפו זה את זה.
People were throwing stones and they were pushing each other, and I saw one old man just standing there crying. The language was very aggressive. There were expressions of hate that I had never heard before, like Israel is a racist state and they don't want us here. I just had never heard anything like this before. This was the moment that broke the myth that we are united, that we are part of Israeli people. In one moment, this whole thing just broke apart.
הלכתי עם אני עם עוד אנשים, עם עוד אנשים מהמשרד לראות הצגה בשכונת קריית משה ברחובות.
One day I went with people from my office to see a play put on by Ethiopian children. It was in Ethiopian neighborhood in Rehovot near Tel Aviv. Outside the theater, some kids were sitting around, smoking cigarettes, talking quietly. They were dropouts. They said to me, "So you've come to sell us more illusions?" Did you have friends before that were Israelis?
Yes.
And now you don't have any?
No. We stopped. This happened after the blood scandal.
That means you broke off relations? Why?
It's like they murdered us.
You think all Israelis murdered us?
No, but it feels like that.
So now you don't have any relations with Israelis, so who can help you?
God knows. Maybe the next generation will do better.
Now we are in Old City. We are next of a wedding wall. אני חושבת שזה נכון שהאורח חיים היהודי שלנו היה שונה באתיופיה.
It's true that our life in Ethiopia was very different. But we dreamed about the wall, the same wall, same holiness. It doesn't matter that when I came, I thought there was an entire temple standing, or that someone from Europe knew only one wall was left standing. We spoke about same holiness, same desires to find a better connection to God. I've gone through a very long inner battle about my self-image, about my own belief, and at a certain point, I had to decide who I am. I am an individual with three thoughts, with my own way to understand Judaism and God, and I decide my own way. Since I was small, I waited and waited to come here. This is a place that our people have dreamed of for years. It's been in my blood.
The story of Shula Mula was produced by Sandy Tolan with help from Patricia Golan and edited by Sharon Ball as part of the Worldviews series of first-person narratives. The Worldviews story was produced with funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Susan Stamberg.